the stuff that we want.
HGTV.
Yes.
Don't not say that word.
Okay. But here, the one that
caveat.
They didn't have, the one, that, the one that they didn't have on there, which I do a lot of, was History. The History Ooh. Channel.
No History Channel.
But the History Channel is actually, it's standalone by itself anyway. So for $4.99, I can get this the streaming app and watch History whenever I watch History. So I can, because I'm telling you, they're going to find something at Oak Island. I've been watching for, I think, 7 years.
They're going to find something.
More than that. They're gonna find what they're looking for.
Okay.
But anyway,
so
all the right stuff for half the price, meaning the 74 bucks, $74.99 or whatever for over 100 streaming channels, live streaming channels, plus the first 3 months you get it for $64. Plus, if you have it and sign up before June 2nd for the NFL package, instead of being $369, it's $269 or whatever. Plus, there's other little caveats that are going to be part of the NFL package if you sign up with. So it's making sense. It's going to save me money. It's like getting Targets for coupon for Jen. She just has to go to Target.
Yes.
It's going to save you money if she doesn't go, right?
Yes.
All right. So, but anyway, so I'm leaning more and more towards the YouTube TV is going to be a viable option. I am going to end up doing the whole package. I'm trying to figure out, can we sight into YouTube TV in three different TVs and watch the Dolphins on one, the Saints on the other. And
that's
the
important thing.
And it's, that's
not even if you're watching the same thing, but can you have three TVs watching YouTube TV at the same time?
We have a wall of TVs in the man cave for a reason. And if we're all watching the same game,
it's not much of a reason. No,
yeah.
I get that. So, okay. All right.
Anyway,
so that's the next one you have to figure out.
We're working down that path.
Three TVs.
Yes. Can we watch multiple games with one login?
Okay. Good. I like that.
All right. Did you see, was it Twitter? Because another update. You heard anything at Ames women's basketball? Anything new?
No.
Nothing? Nothing? Nothing at all?
Nothing.
I did see.
I didn't even get a congratulations, Stephanie Suarez and Ashley Jones. I didn't even see that.
Well,
I mean, it might have that first night, but you would think they'd still be talking about it.
I'd have to see where it was, but it was a picture of Ashley and Stephanie flanking Bill Finley, all with smiles.
Right, but that was like a day before the
draft. I thought it was the day after.
No, I
don't know. But it's
but making, so you saw Bill Finley, so he's still alive.
It's making the rounds on social media still, so somebody's dropping some stuff out there that, look, there's smiles in the program. They may be former in the program, but they're still smiling.
There's a smile. 7 years ago tonight, Kobe Bryant scored 60 points in his final game. I can't believe it's been 6 years.
Okay.
6 years ago that happened. How long he's been, has it been 2 years since he passed away?
Dude, it's, you know, you say it and you think, well, it's been longer than that, I think. But he's,
I miss Kobe Bryant. He was different. He wasn't LeBron. He wasn't Michael. He was his own dude.
It was 2020, January 26, 2020. So.
Oh, you know what?
It was so a little over, yeah.
COVID.
Yeah.
Right, kind of when it was.
So it's been a little over 3 years.
Wow. That's sad.
Oh. Sorry, you asked.
Didn't need sad stuff.
You asked.
I mean, woof. I thought this was kind of funny today. This was one of the news flashes. Browns defensive tackle Perrion Winfrey arrested on serious charges with 2 exclamation points. They didn't list what the serious charges were. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Wonder if there's a weapon involved.
Yeah. So OBJ signed with the Ravens today.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yep. And
is he the same guy he was 5 years ago?
I actually think he might be. I think he might be better. I think he's in a.
Whoa!
I don't know if his
physically better, or you mean far as being a
mentally better. I
think
he's
a leader and
yes.
a mentor and
yes.
Really.
I don't know. You know that's
OBJ. Okay.
That's the part. I think that's why people were willing to talk to him because it's not the same. It's not the same guy. And I think he was changing that. Then, you know, he had two extremely fluke accidents to have what happened. You know, and so everybody today, they're all just going, okay, so that means Lamar's. I have no idea. I don't think Baltimore has any clue what they're doing. I don't know if Lamar has any clue what they're doing. I know for darn sure the Indianapolis Colts and the Washington Commanders. Now, the Washington Commanders may change. This new ownership group, they're a month away. It'll take probably a month to get it all signed and done. None of those guys are hurting for money.
Right.
So, you know, maybe they, I think it's really funny because the slander on Lamar Jackson right now that he can't complete a season and he can't throw from the pocket and he doesn't have that much running left in him. I mean, he's 26 years old. He's younger than some of these young quarterbacks that are only been in the league for a couple of years. Yeah.
Heck, the Georgia quarterback's older than he is.
Yes, Stetson Bennett. He is.
Stetson Bennett.
Yes. You know, they forget, you know, number one thing they forget that their only loss he had when he was hurt was when he let your Dolphins come back and the defense let your Dolphins come back and score four touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
They were up four touchdowns. Yeah. It hurts even more when you lose.
It does. It hurt a lot.
Okay, here's my OBJ question.
Okay.
Because it was two seasons that he was in Cleveland?
Yes.
I forget what it was. But anyway, you've got Odell Beckham Jr. on this side, and you've got
Jarvis Landry.
Was that a waste? I mean, to me, that...
We've said that. We had Baker Mayfield throwing it to him.
Should that have been more of a slam dunk combination?
Yes, and... I blame Kevin Stefanski a little bit, not understanding that. I mean, they never took advantage of the things that you take advantage of.
Right.
And that's why when you take a step back and you look at some of these teams, that's why you enjoy, teams to watch next year. Your Miami Dolphins are a team to watch because their offense is really, really good. Until Tua's head hits the ground, and then it won't be as much fun.
Such a jackwagon. You're 100% truthful, yeah, but
if you want to watch a really fun offense, on Thanksgiving Day, if you watch the Detroit Lions and then watch them throughout the year and then watch them against the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, exactly.
Watch them dismantle the Packers defense. That's a fun offense to watch.
Right.
There's a lot of those. And you know, instead of nitpicking Kansas City like a lot of coaches do, you would think they would, of all the people to copycat.
Exactly.
Andy Reid would be a copycat, but maybe you can't copycat
him. You can't. I was going to say you can try to copy what Andy Reid does, but will there ever be another Patrick Mahomes? He's too special. To be, you tell me somebody else is Lamar the close?
No.
Lamar Jackson close to what he is?
Because he can't. Lamar can't change plays. That's it's everything that he does. He can take off and run. He gets first downs running almost every time he takes off.
Cordell Stewart maybe was because he
not
was,
a good a passer. Close to being as accurate.
Right, the accuracy. But I mean, to try to figure out. Yeah, name somebody that was Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes.
You have to combine people right now. You know, that's what he did.
Fran Tarkenton?
Yeah. What he did in the Super Bowl after that first quarter is quite amazing against a Philadelphia Eagle defense that was really, really good. And it was all him, misdirection, looking one way, throwing the other. I mean, just all the things that he does. And I get it because I always say, and he's not working with a number one offense. Yes, he has Travis Kelce. And Travis Kelce is really good. I think they're great together. I don't know if Travis Kelce would be a 90-catch tight end with somebody else. And I don't know if Patrick Mahomes throws as many touchdowns and has as many yards without Travis Kelce. When you look at that team – And teams try to do it. They try to take Travis Kelce away. And then you get tired of him nitpicking you with all these receivers that you have no idea in the world who they are.
Right.
and they're picking up 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards.
But he's living in the 9 to 11 yards is where he's throwing, yeah. And then they get yards after the
all the things he does, like running, when he takes off and it's third down and they're 7 yards and nobody's open, I guarantee you that when he takes off, he puts that ball out far enough to get 7 yards and 1 inch.
Right.
And there's not a lot of quarterbacks that can do that.
Well, with the upcoming draft, obviously 2 weeks from tonight in Kansas City, like we talked about, the buzz, and I don't know, but the buzz is the first three are going to be quarterbacks. They're not saying who's going to be, you know, one camp will say it's going to be, this is going to be number one, this is going to be, but it's there, it's a world of quarterbacks again.
I feel sorry for these kids, though, I listened to them today, getting nitpicked, you know, and probably going to have to change. I said I didn't think Bryce Young was going to get picked number one because I didn't think any NFL team, because of all their crazy thinking, would let that height not let them take him because of that.
Right.
Even though he's played in more big games than anybody in college football. C.J. Stroud's close. But if you look at their stats and you look at everything, and then you add in Alabama quarterbacks that have come to the NFL, and you add in Ohio State quarterbacks that have come to the NFL, Ohio State quarterbacks do not do well.
Mm-hmm.
And Alabama quarterbacks have done better. I just don't know how you...
Now, LSU quarterbacks seem to do okay.
But he started at Ohio State and left.
I know.
And some of these teams I can even see today, you know, cause you think I don't think there's going to be three quarterbacks taken. Cause I don't think Houston's going to take a quarterback. I think Houston's going to get more picks and start building their team up to get Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams at USC is a better quarterback than any of these quarterbacks that are there.
Teams don't tank. That's illegal. Yeah.
Except for the one. And that is Anthony Richardson. And he's the wild card, right? Will Levis, everybody trashing on Will Levis. Will Levis got hurt and had you and I for wide receivers and running backs and tight ends at Kentucky and still won big games.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with you always using this as the punching bag there. Yeah,
of our
All right.
See, that's the thing. You have to do that. So then people don't think that you're arrogant. So we pick on ourselves.
What just popped up on my?
What did just pop up on your screen?
I'm gonna have to figure this out. This 49ers Ravens trade proposal sends Lamar Jackson to San Francisco. That must be speculation.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. For all the Iowa State fans out there, I love Brock Purdy, but if the San Francisco 49ers get Lamar Jackson. Wow.
No, this is somebody I think I fell into the
you got
the clickbait.
You're in the dark web.
Two hours ago it was put out there.
Yeah, you're in the dark web.
Yep.
That
didn't make sense to me, but anyway.
Well, they don't have a quarterback.
No, they don't. All right. Where was I going? I was going to the mock draft.
Ooh, that there you go. That's a good idea. I like that.
All right. So what are we?
We got to talk to B Styles.
I was going to say we should be bearing down on right before we talk to B Styles. What are you going to lead into him with?
You know, that's a really good question.
We should probably talk about that over the break.
We might have to do that.
All right. Fade
you
away.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports. We're bringing Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Scott and I and B Styles next.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Thursday. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower _13, at 1700 The Champ, and at Happy Hour _SS. Twins-Yankees tonight, 6:05, so right after the show. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, and 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Urgent injury clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at dmoss.com. Thank DMOS for Des Moines Orthopedic Centers for being a part of our program from a long time ago. Has always been a part of our program. It is Brendan Stiles. He is at these B Stiles on Twitter. B, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. And, you know, I know you guys are going to want to get into what happened last night with the Bulls winning, and we'll definitely do that. But before I go there, I got to mention, because this, I guess tomorrow technically is the last day of the NHL season because there's a couple of makeups, but this is like the last major day and a lot of playoff spots are going to be decided. But the one thing that got announced today that kind of shook me a little is the Chicago Blackhawks announcing that this is going to be Jonathan Tate's final game playing for them. They just said, because he would be a free agent next season, that they're not going to re-sign him. And there have also been some rumors of him possibly retiring after this year because he'd been dealing with COVID, a long COVID, for a couple months and just various injuries over the last few seasons. And I just got to say, like, it's big for me just in the sense that this is the guy who was the captain of three Stanley Cup winning teams in Chicago, and just the joy that he and all those other guys have brought to my life over there throughout the 2010s especially. And just thinking about all the big moments that he had as a player, and just the fact that he was the only one from that core that was remaining. And, you know, I'm happy. I'm sad that it's over, but I'm also happy that he's going to get this opportunity tonight at the United Center for one last hurrah, if you will. And it'll definitely be an emotional night in Chicago for sure.
He's an icon. He's a Chicago icon. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that that's the part. You're starting to lose some of those people in the NHL that you know, not everyday people that watch. You know, they don't get everybody. You know, they don't, because they don't watch a lot of hockey, and that's because of you know, the way it was in the past 20 years. You get to, you know, WGN, you got to see some hockey, you got to do all that. Now you gotta hunt and pick to find it, and I don't think it's as big now. Playoff hockey is.
And now I'm at a point where I'm just praying that they win the draft lottery in a few weeks and can get Connor Bedard with that first overall pick, because then that would basically kind of be a change of the guard in terms of errors. But that it's been a tough last few years, but like I said, just seeing that he's at least going to get that, Taves is going to at least get that send off. And really, it's not something that Patrick Kane got, because he got traded to New York, and he'll be playing in the playoffs here with the Rangers. But it's nice that Jonathan's going to at least get that send off, if you will. And then whatever happens, whether he signs with another team or ends up retiring, you know, I guess we'll see this summer. But yeah, it'll definitely be a very emotional evening inside the United Center for sure.
What's your gut? You feel that he's going to retire because of, I mean, he had a lot of illness, missed a lot of games this year.
Yeah, I think if I had to guess, I would say he probably does end up retiring. And then that would really be even rare when you consider that, especially the NHL, it always seemed like the one sport where you always saw guys get traded, and it would almost be impossible for somebody to play with one team their entire career. But if he does retire, he's going to be one of those guys that can say, hey, I spent my entire career with one organization. And that's not something, like I said, it's not something that you see every day. And that'll definitely cement his legacy in Chicago for sure.
Absolutely.
For some of the people that don't watch a ton of hockey and he's not on all the time, compared to some of the past greats, how good is Connor McDavid?
He right now is easily the best player in the game. And now that Sidney Crosby and the Penguins aren't going to be in the playoffs for the first time in forever, it seems like this is going to be his opportunity, because he got Edmonton to the Western Conference Finals last year before they got swept by Colorado, and then they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. But Yeah, the Oilers, they kind of got off to a slow start, but they're right in the thick of it and potentially could win their division tonight. And yeah, he's been that rising star, but now he's in the prime of his career where it's like, okay, he's potentially the face of the league, and if he were to somehow deliver a Stanley Cup to Edmonton, much like you saw Gretzky and Messier do back in the day, then I think without question he would become the face of the league.
A little bit of Gretzky and a little bit of Lemieux?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, he definitely has that potential for sure.
He's a lot bigger than
Gretzky. Yeah, he's bigger than both guys, but he has the scoring prowess, but I think just his impact on the ice, because then you see guys like Leon Draisaitl and what he's able to do for the Oilers as well. And yeah, I think that's probably a good comparison to say that he's a combo of those two guys.
So being a Bulls fan, you have that coming up tomorrow night.
Well, coming up tomorrow night after last night, which...
That's a good win last night.
I wasn't surprised they won, but it was the manner in which they won that shocked me, because you saw Fred VanVleet hit that three from midcourt to end the half, and you're thinking, okay, they're down by 11, this season's over. It's cool that I guess they got this opportunity, but yeah. But then, yeah, the second half, Zach LaVine turned it on. DeMar, you got what you usually get from him. How about his daughter? The impact that she had last night from the crowd, basically screaming every time the Raptors shot a free throw, and they ended up only going 50% from the line. But it was a nice win over Toronto. But now the fact that they're playing Miami is a surprise. I thought for sure the Heat would handle the Hawks the other night, and it's going to be a much tougher test. Just because you're dealing with Jimmy Butler, you're dealing with Bam Adebayo, and you know what you're going to get from those guys, and you know what you're going to get from that culture that Miami's always had. But then even if you do somehow beat the Heat tomorrow night, then you're looking at a first-round rematch with the Bucks for the second year in a row. And, okay, it'll be nice in terms of travel. You only have to go 90 miles north. But at the same time, it's like you're going up against the best team in the league, and at that point, it's like, okay, you're just going to get drummed by them for the second year in a row. Is it really worth it at that point? So I'm not sure. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's totally a lose-lose, because obviously you want to make the playoffs if you can, but I don't think it's going to be one of those things where if they lose to the Miami Heat tomorrow night, that would make much of a difference anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Butler got embarrassed. The Miami Heat got embarrassed by Atlanta. That was not good. When you look at we talked a little bit in the first hour of the show, the Oklahoma City Thunder, teams in the league better get, you know, if Chet Holmgren comes back and he's healthy and he plays the way that we think he can play, with that team they have, that's a fun team to watch, B.
That, it's remarkable what they did this year without him especially. And I'll say this, even if Minnesota beats them tomorrow night, and I live up here in Minneapolis, so like, that the Target Center is only a few blocks away from where I live. The Timberwolves, I feel like that they should win just because they have that experience from a year ago that Oklahoma City doesn't have. But going back to your point about the Thunder, this is the time to get them, because they have all those draft picks. But what that really tells me is at some point, Sam Presti's going to put his chips on the table. He's going to land a superstar because he has all of that capital at his disposal. But they're not going to use all of those draft picks, because otherwise they're going to end up replacing everybody that they currently have that's developed this nucleus. I think at some point it's going to be something where you're going to want to build around somebody like a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and a Chet Holmgren and see what you could develop from there.
I told Scott I loved watching Josh Giddey. He's fun to watch. A very talented young man, tall. He's really good.
Absolutely.
Your Chicago White Sox sitting at 5-8, run differentials -17. Tough start or just a slow start?
No, it's a tough start right now because it was always going to be kind of a breath of fresh air, just in the sense of Tony La Russa no longer being the manager. But at the same time, I was at Target Field the other night watching him play against the Twins, and that was something that they got on Pablo Lopez early in that game, but then once he got settled in, they couldn't do anything. And it's when you see like what Cleveland's always had with Shane Bieber, and now you have the Twins having a guy like Pablo Lopez along with Sonny Gray at the top of their rotation, I think that just puts even more pressure on guys like Dylan Cease and Lucas Giolito to perform every time they're out on the mound, because Lance Lynn, he gets you the strikeouts and he can get you the innings, but he also gives up a lot of hits now. And I don't want to say he's quite in Dallas Keuchel territory, but he's slowly starting to get there. And I kind of wonder, because of La Russa no longer being the manager now, if he ends up having a quicker fall than even most people would have expected, just because he's always kind of been a La Russa guy, if you will. He was there in St. Louis with them, and then he showed up with the White Sox right when he became the manager. So that's kind of something to keep an eye on as the season progresses. But, yeah, they're definitely off to a rough start.
Chicago Bears are at 9. Do they stay at 9? Do they move around? If they stay at 9, are they going a lineman to protect, a wide receiver to give him weapons? What do you think?
I mean, Ryan Poles is definitely going to have some options. I think if he could trade back even just a few more spots, I think that would be the play. I feel like the early teams is where you're going to see a run on linemen, especially if they feel they could get their offensive tackle there. And have somebody that they can line up opposite Braxton Jones at left tackle, and then you have the outside of your line solidified at that point. I think the other thing to watch for is the potential for them possibly getting a pass rusher if they were to stay at 9 and go with defense, or heck, even if Jalen Carter somehow says, I don't think he will. My gut tells me he's probably going to get taken before the 9th pick, but if he's still somehow there at 9, I think it's something the Bears end up considering despite everything that they've been saying publicly.
I know you're a Chicago Bears super fan. You live in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Kirk Cousins today because I'm just like, man, you talk about a maligned quarterback that, you know, every loss is blamed for and every win he doesn't get credit. What's coverage like of him up there in this on the sports talk?
I mean, he's the face of the team that's the biggest name in the state. Like, if you had to rank, like, the teams up here, the Vikings would easily be number one. And with that, I think what a lot of it has to do with is the fact that he got all that guaranteed money when he first signed with the Vikings. And to his credit, he played it well from a business side. But I think people kind of see that, and it's like, okay, you're getting all this money and it's all coming to you up front. The best that you could do is you have one playoff win that was in overtime against New Orleans in 2019. I definitely understand fans feeling frustrated by what they've gotten, but I will say last year he had a pretty solid season, and he has a guy like Justin Jefferson to get the ball to, and he had Adam Thielen the last 2 years before they just cut him. So I think it's something where he's definitely maligned. I think some of it's unwarranted, but some of it's fair game just because of how much he makes. And I'll just throw this in there, too. It wouldn't surprise me if they start looking at potentially getting his replacement in this draft. You know, I don't think they're going to trade up for any of the guys that have been discussed at the top of the draft, but maybe they get somebody like, say, a Hendon Hooker, you know, late in the first round.
Yep.
And I only throw that out there because if you consider 2 years ago, they drafted Kellen Mond, and that ended up completely backfiring on them.
Yeah, it did. We're talking to Brendan Styles. He's at DB Styles on Twitter. We got a minute and a half. Okay, you put the Vikings 1. Rank the other 3.
Oh, well, wait, in terms of the division for next season?
No. Minnesota sports.
Okay. I would say Vikings 1. I would have to probably go with the Wild, too, just because they brand themselves the state of hockey. You know, and then the Twins 3. Although, I guess there's probably a divide between Minneapolis and St. Paul in as far as that's concerned. Then I guess I would say the Timberwolves 4. Although, that's probably more because the Lynx have kind of slipped, because they had a nice little run there in the WNBA when they had Maya Moore and they were winning. They were the one team that actually was winning championships, so right now, I guess the Timberwolves would be 4, but that's kind of shaky. And that could be something where if the Lynx, if they suddenly get good again, they're going to sell out the Target Center. And who knows? they might even be in a position to draft a certain Iowa player here in the next year or two.
There you go. You got about 20 seconds. Who's going to be the first quarterback taken?
Bryce Young. I think he goes number one to Carolina.
To speak about quarterbacks, I'm looking at CBS mock draft and round one, mm-hmm. pick 23. Quarterback Will Levis to Minnesota.
I don't think he'll last.
Oh, I think I think some team's going to take him much higher than they should.
Too, but they're thinking the way you are. Quarterback is probably the way to go.
That is a good one. All right, B, I appreciate it. We're going to do this next Thursday with you too, because you're going out of town. So we'll talk to you next Thursday, brother.
See you, babe.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Yep. B-Styles, the best.
He's awesome.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports. We got one segment left. We are off tomorrow, but we'll be back in here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No, we'll be here Tuesday, Wednesday next week, because we have a Thursday show or program that we have to go to.
Yes.
And it starts at 5. That's not going to work. We'll have to talk about that when we come back right after this break. Welcome back in, everybody. Headphones on. I'm like, wow, I can't even hear myself.
Oh, I can hear you.
You got it. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter, as always, at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower _ 13, at Happy Hour _SS, and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is 1700 The Champ as well. Twins Yankees right after this last segment tonight. Look forward to listening to that on the way home. My beloved Yankees playing.
The Yankees.
In New York, which makes it a little better. I'd be kind of worried. Minnesota's been playing really well. You have the last read, my friend.
I do, and I have...
Woodman Controls. Woodman Control.
I just had to grab my paperwork here. Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, providing design, engineer, install, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, and card access, the camera control, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your business, improve efficiency, comfort, and security for your facility. Located in Ankeny, go to woodmancontrols.com to look at various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field and service technicians, and many more for outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. This is the one that you have. Woodman Controls has let you have the app on your phone, so when you're managing your commercial spaces, you know what's going on.
With anything, yeah.
It's automated, and it's at your fingertips.
Yep. It's really, really nice.
Excellent. Okay. What you got?
So one of the things that we talked about the other day,
yes,
was
sir.
With name, image, and likeness, and we talked about the Cavender twins from the Miami Hurricane. Twin sisters. 4 million followers,
yes.
NIL money, a lot. Did not come back for their fifth year.
No.
Everybody's trying to figure out, why in the world did they not come back for their fifth year?
Go to their Instagram.
That's free money. They're going to WWE, baby.
Wow.
Yes. The Cavender twins just announced on the Today Show that they are entering the WWE as professional wrestlers. That was the WWE was actually part of their NIL. That they knew that way before.
Oh, man. That is.
Triple H, no dummy.
No, he's.
And Stephanie McMahon is not.
Wow.
Whatever you think about WWE and all that, the one thing you have to give them kudos for, they've had to have multiple business plans, and they always come out on top. And it has nothing to do with Vince. It has everything to do on, you know, putting up with Vince. But the people behind the scenes and what they've done, if you love it, hate it, or whatever, that's a lot of money.
Sometimes in business structure, the person that got the boat floating, you know what I mean? Even though the waves change and you have to adapt to a different path.
Vince got it. I agree.
It's you have to.
Him and his dad got it started.
You have to give them let the dog sit on the porch and bark still.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
But that is and
good for them.
With that kind of social media, that's not, they signed him to a $50,000 contract. They signed them to a lot of money.
This is
that is, yeah,
Yeah, they're going to make bank on that.
So Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be number 3, not 13, 3 for the Baltimore Ravens. I just saw that.
Okay.
Here's one. So the Pittsburgh Penguins did not make the playoffs in the NHL this year. I'm going to tell you 4 things that were happening the last time they didn't make the playoffs. But I have to take my glasses off to do it. LeBron James was making his playoff debut at 21 years old. Good Connor point. McDavid, who we just talked about, was 9. Cheryl Swoops was the reigning WNBA MVP, and Lionel Messi had not yet scored a World Cup goal for Argentina since the Pittsburgh Penguins wow. have not been in the playoffs. That is crazy in itself. I can't believe that. I didn't even know that they didn't make the playoffs until I read that, which is I don't know. So 26 years ago today, Tiger Woods at age 21 won the Masters by 7 strokes. I was trying to tie this in, and I knew that Zach wasn't very old, so that, see, that helped that it was 26. So he was a year old. It was Easter, and we were down in Centerville with my relatives, and we watched that. I had to stay at my relatives because I wanted to watch the end of the golf match.
Now, wow, you really wanted to watch golf, didn't you?
26 years ago, you couldn't pick up your cell phone and just get it live on your phone. 12 strokes. That's a ton. I mean, that started his career, and people knew where he was going, and that's where he was headed. You'll get a kick out of this because we stop by here all the time. A new pork tent, and it's not a tent. It's a building.
Oh, man.
It's a big building.
People use the phrase brick and mortar, but no, it's a stick-framed, real big building.
And you're going to see
updated
it.
Look. Yeah.
Red.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of cool. I mean, that's pork chop on a stick. Come on.
Right.
That is a mainstay.
Didn't it was always on Main Street side was the grill? I mean, they moved the, the kitchen. Yeah. It's going to be quite space. Right there. Northeast of the triangle or whatever. Yeah.
Baylor Shearman, with Creighton, their 7-footer good coming back. I didn't think he was going to come back. He's coming back. So that makes college basketball a little bit more fun to watch. And boy, are there still some movement happening in college basketball. I mean, every today there were 6 or 7 more gals that jumped in that you went, what? And 3 or 4 guys that are leaving good situations.
Right.
And I can't find myself complaining about it because if I do, then all the time that I spend picking on Dick Vitale and all that crew of, well, this is so bad for NCAA. No, what's bad for NCAA basketball is all your crony coaches. And if you would admit that, people would probably buy into some of the stuff you're saying because I agree with what they're saying, but I'm not agreeing to it because they want to help save Tom Izzo so he gets, he gets 8 guys instead of 4. Because he wants to win another NCAA tournament before he leaves.
It's we saw a very unique and wonderful NCAA tournament because there was so much parity in college basketball.
Yes.
I think we're going to see that more and more.
I do too. Because it's not only about name, image, likeness. It's about playing time. If you're sitting on the bench watching 5 4 stars and you're a 3-star or a 4-star,
right.
Why are you going there? There's too many good teams, and it's a lot easier to get to the NCAAs if you're playing for Hofstra or you're playing for Florida Coastal or whatever. It's easy to get there.
I can't wait to see what Lisa Bluter puts together because now you've got, hey, I'm available.
Well, they're getting.
Hey, can I?
Yeah, they're going to get that big, and then they're going to get another one.
Yeah.
And if they get someone like Haley,
Van Lith,
now she might want to not be somewhere where you have, I mean, Gabby and Kate Martin. I don't know. Maybe she does. I have no idea. But the other one that came out today, she left, and I can't remember which school it was, and maybe it'll hit on here. I got to do this one too because you and I have watched the Netflix
Full Swing.
Yes.
Yes.
Joel Damon today shot 5 under.
I love
that dude.
Well, and did you see, speaking of golf, did you see the comment that was made by Brooks Koepka? I saw this article that
hit me with it.
That it was after his performance at the Masters, he without saying it, he said it. He said, if my health and I felt as good as I did, as I do right now, my decision to leave would have been a lot harder.
Right, because he was getting paid money and they knew he couldn't golf.
Right.
And he wasn't going to get that at PGA because he's not.
So read that. Read into that, though.
Right.
He knows he went to a lesser decision for more money.
And you knew Phil Mickelson thinks the same thing because when he walked into that Masters room, he kept his mouth shut. He never keeps his mouth shut.
Right.
And then when he came in third, his mouth started going open again.
Not as much as what you did.
No,
old Phil, though.
No, not at all.
Because he doesn't want – it's, hey, you played well. You were competitive. You were well-behaved. We would like you to come back to a different event.
Yep. And I
think that's what he's hoping for.
And I think that's what's going to happen. Brooks Koepka, unlike – Dustin Johnson and Tiger and Phil to a certain extent, but Phil has, with his gambling, has knocked a lot of his sponsors out.
Right.
Brooks doesn't have a ton of sponsors.
No.
He just won a bunch of tournaments and won a bunch of money.
Right, exactly.
And the other interesting one today, Rory McIlroy, it's not this tournament, but it's like two down the road that is one of the, I think there's seven tournaments that if you play in all these tournaments, you get, the top players get this amount of money.
Right.
Him missing that without an excuse, he just said, I'm not going. He lost $3 million for not going. And Rory McIlroy goes, yeah, pocket change.
Exactly. Wallet money.
Yep, that's what it is. We thank you very much for listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steve and Scott. We appreciate you listening. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You'll see me on Monday. Scotty, you'll be in here on Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll...
Pink, live in Minneapolis.